Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also invite you to our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files that you can download. Also, there are Bible videos, 30 minutes in length, that on various subjects that you can download, and a host of other Bible-related material that will help you as you study God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We are discussing for the next few months the subject of the bread of life. We're looking at the life of our Lord. And we're going to be having an extensive study in the Gospels and the biography of Jesus contained in the New Testament. We begin this morning by continuing talking about the work of John the Baptist, and we want to talk about the preaching of John the Baptist. We begin by reading in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water, unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now you can also read of these events in Mark chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, and also Luke chapter 3, verse 7 through 18. The preaching of John, done by John, disturbed the religious leaders of the Jews and stirred the hearts of the common people. Matthew specifically mentions the Pharisees and Sadducees being the recipients of a scathing rebuke. Luke indicates the entire multitude was included. The rebuke was, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come?" The viper was an extremely poisonous serpent, 2 to 5 feet in length and about an inch in diameter. It symbolized the guile and malice, cunning and venom. What a way to be described, and it calls into question their motivation for coming to hear John and his preaching. But regardless of their motivation, John made it clear that he was demanding a change. They had to repent. The fact that they were Jews, physical descendants of Abraham, did not guarantee their citizenship in the kingdom of the coming Messiah. Although that is what they thought, they were completely wrong. However, mere preaching without practical application accomplishes little. As the multitude came to him asking the question, "Then what shall we do?" John gave them the simple practical application: be unselfish, be generous, demonstrate repentance. A publican came and soldiers came. To people of a heightened of messianic expectation, it was only natural that some would begin to speculate as to whether or not he might be the Christ. John moved to lay to rest such thinking. Yes, he did baptize him in water into repentance, but there was one who was coming who was inherently superior to John. He understood it, and he wanted them to understand it. The one who was coming, he was not worthy to carry his sandals or loosen his shoes. John was his forerunner. The one who was coming would baptize with the Holy Spirit in fire. I am of the conviction that the baptism of the Holy Spirit refers to what took place in Acts 2, when the apostles were completely immersed in the Holy Spirit, and it occurred again in Acts 10, when Cornelius was baptized, being the first Gentile convert. The baptism with fire contextually must refer to eternal punishment, for God is the judge of all men, according to John 5:22 and also 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10. It corresponds to the unfruitful trees being cast into the fire and the chaff being burnt up. Also, John uses another illustration. In those days, wheat and other grain were harvested by hand. Being picked, the grain was beaten or trodden on by oxen on a smooth, hard piece of ground called the threshing floor. It was picked up in a winnowing fan and tossed into the air. The wind blew the chaff away, and the clean grain fell back to the floor. The grain that was kept and the chaff was burnt up. The one who was coming would separate the good from the wicked, and that would be done by their actions and according to their reception or rejection of Jesus Christ. We now want to consider the baptism of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 3, we begin reading in verse number 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John in Jordan to be baptized of him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Then when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, Jesus left Nazareth to journey to the region around Jordan, where John was baptizing. Jesus came to be baptized by him at John's hand, thus linking John's work to his own work. As Jesus came to be baptized, John sought to prevent him from doing so, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. In his response, Jesus imitated that John was correct. He did not need the baptism of repentance for remission of sin, for he was sinless. Nevertheless, to fulfill all righteousness, carrying out all the decrees of the Father, he would be baptized. After his baptism, Luke tells us that Jesus was praying and the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove. Accompanying him was a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. The descent of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus was a fulfillment of a prophecy that you can read in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. When the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus, and John would later testify, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven and remaining upon him, John 1 verse 32. He received the promised anointing of the Spirit. What of the multitude? Did they hear the voice? See the dove? I do not believe they saw or understood, for such would have been a very early announcement of Jesus as the Messiah. And the Lord would often say on latter occasions that his time has not yet come. John and Jesus saw, heard, and understood. Why? Because they had a need to. They had a need to know and to understand. We know if we go back for just a moment and we read John's accounting of the baptism of Jesus, I want to notice a few things that John wrote here in the Apostle John about this in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 29. It says, The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it is he whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. Now, again, remember what the Apostle John is telling us concerning the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus. John would know without any reservation that the one that was coming after him, that was before him, that was preferred above him, the one who he said would be mightier than him, he would know for sure the identifying characteristic. One of them would be that he would see the Holy Spirit alighting upon him and remaining on him at his baptism. And this would be a sign to John that this is the one who is coming that will baptize in the Holy Spirit and with fire. You can also read this account in Mark chapter 1, 9 through 11, and Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. What I want you to see here is that Jesus had no need of baptism by John, for John's baptism was preparatory unto repentance, and that means a repentance of sin, but Jesus had no sin. And so he didn't need to be baptized because he was sinless. But he says to fulfill all righteousness. What does he mean? He means to do his Father's will. It was part of the Father's will that he would live as man and that he would follow the law that was given by his Father to the Jews. And he lived that law perfectly, never sinned in any aspect of it. And so he tells John, let us do this to fulfill all righteousness. And the voice that was heard from heaven was for John's benefit and for Jesus' benefit to know that this was God's Son. This was his Son. This was the one that was coming, and this is the one that he was the forerunner for. And so when Jesus spoke, I think it's interesting also for us to remember at his baptism that all three parts of the Godhead are present. You have Jesus there being baptized, you have the Holy Spirit descending on him, and you have the Father speaking from heaven. And so you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What is also significant about this baptism that we need to keep in mind is that it was also a sign for John that this was the one that was following him, and this was the one that he was preparing the way for. Now, what's important about this baptism is understanding that this was a baptism that was a temporary baptism. As we discussed last week, there are differences between the baptism of Jesus and the baptism of John. We will also understand that this baptism is going to also begin a period of the last 3 years of Jesus' life on earth. It is referred to many times as the public ministry of the Lord, and it is begun by his baptism. And so what we're going to see here is that now we're going to take a step forward and we're going to really get into the details of the last 3 years of the life of Christ and his public ministry. And we're going to spend much of the time, the rest of our time in our discussion of the bread of life, in what he did during that 3 year period. And so this begins one of the aspects of Jesus' life that we have a little bit more information about concerning his time upon earth. We have more information about this time than we do his early years, and then from 12 to 30. And so we're going to have some more information that we'll be sharing with you as we go along in the story as he begins his public ministry. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week.